So today I'm going to talk about how Jesus is our identity, our health, our healer and our Lord. And all those things are important, okay? I think if the Bubbles group, if you need to, there's Lego at the back, Jonathan will be here shortly, okay? So I'm going to start by, I'm going to read scriptures from Romans chapter 8, Psalm 103 and Isaiah 54. Those are the ones I want to focus on to encourage you in what you have in through Jesus Christ. That you have the gift of health and you have the gift of healing. And that's based on our identity as God's righteous children. So someone may just need to keep an eye on Thomas and Gozi if necessary through there. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and I'm just going to read from Romans chapter 8. This is a scripture that God gave me for this year, and Romans chapter 8, the Lord said to me about this year, this is a new season of fruitfulness and joy in your relationship with me. The law, that's like the Ten Commandments and all of other God's commandments, the law is the strength of sin, but you are set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You are my deeply loved Son, and I lead you by my Spirit. So let's read Romans chapter 8, and it says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who do not walk according to the flesh. That's your old way of thinking and all that comes through that. But live according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. And in the New International Version, that verse says that God gave his sent his own Son to be a sin offering. So that's what we remember when we take communion. God condemned sin in the flesh, verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be flesh-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Because the flesh mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So that's why we need to be born again. When we're born again, then we can please God, because we have a new spirit. Hallelujah. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's because of Adam's sin, all of our bodies are going to die. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, Adam messed it up, which is why all our bodies are going to die. But Jesus put it right and put us right with God, and therefore we can have his supernatural life within us. Now look at verse 11. If the Spirit of him, that's God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells or lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. That's a powerful verse. How many of us believe that Jesus came back to life again after he died? That's great. And, you know, all the evidence points to that. In the tomb, when the disciples went there, they found the grave clothes folded neatly. And the cloth that was wrapped around Jesus' face had been placed to one side. And which proves his body wasn't stolen by thieves or robbers, because they wouldn't have done that. So Jesus is alive. And that's a supernatural miracle. It's the most important miracle of all history, of the universe. And it affects you and me, because this verse says that the Holy Spirit of our Father, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in us. Tell the person next to you, God's resurrection spirit is living in me. So how does that affect your health? Look at the next verse. Sorry, the rest of that verse. It says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal physical bodies through his spirit who lives in you. That word life means the life of God, Zoe. It's resurrection life. It's eternal life. It's the life that sustains God. Amen. And that's living in you. So what God wants to happen is his resurrection life and power that's in your spirit, he wants it to flow from your spirit into your body and chase colds, coughs, heart disease, cancer, joint pain, diabetes, whatever it might be. He wants that life to drive sickness and disease out of your body so that your body can be healthy. Why does God want our bodies to be healthy? Because he's got a job for us to do on this earth until it's time for us to go to heaven, be with Jesus, return with Jesus, get a brand new body, and live on a new earth forever in a perfect environment. That's our future. Who's looking forward to that? I am. I'm very much looking forward to that. And, you know, when I hear all this doom and gloom on the news about the environment and, you know, and people are getting more and more panicked about it, I have to keep reminding myself, God is going to fix this planet. It's in too much of a mess for humans to do it. The people who got it into this mess are not capable of getting it out of the mess. So, of course, we should be responsible as good sons and daughters of God in you know, not wasting stuff and looking after things that God's created. But ultimately, only God can put this planet right. But let's get back to our own health, shall we? In verses 13 and 14... it says that if you live by the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Dada, Daddy. It's like a little baby. First words they might say to their dad. Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So that's all I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live free from sin. As God's deeply loved children, we are led by his Spirit. And, you know, I was praying with some of us this week, you know, things are difficult in your work environments or in other areas of our lives, but the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us. He's our counsellor. He's our advisor. And as we pray in the Holy Spirit, he will show us what to do, how to get through the challenges that we're facing. Amen. So God's healing power flows from the Holy Spirit to our spirit, through our minds, and then to our bodies. God tells us to renew our minds, okay? And that's very important when we're challenged by sickness. Let's turn to Psalm 103. Rita read Psalm 103 last week. She was sharing a testimony about how God had helped her stay in peace despite very difficult, challenging circumstances by praying in the Holy Spirit and remembering all God's benefits. And, you know, Jesus died not just so our sins could be forgiven, but so that we could have a completely wonderful life as children of God, like he had. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Does anyone know what is our soul made up of? Which parts of our personality are contained within our soul? Does anyone want to call out what you think your soul is? Go on, Tiffany. Or what did you tell your mum? Emotions, that's right. What else is our soul contain, apart from our emotions? Our will, that's right. Anything else? Desires, okay, yeah. Okay, also our mind, what you think about. These are all important. All these things affect your health, okay? And Bless, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, this is someone's spirit talking. So you're made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body, okay? And God wants all of us to be growing more like Jesus and growing in health and the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you read Psalm 103, your spirit is talking to your soul. It's talking to your mind. It's talking to your will. And it's talking to your emotions. And it's saying, bless the Lord. Because the mind is the battleground of our lives, you know. How many of us know that sometimes we get negative thoughts? You know, we get thoughts of depression, thoughts of fear, thoughts of anger, thoughts of guilt, thoughts of condemnation. And as God's word is planted in our spirits rise up and dictate to our souls what they should, our souls should be thinking about. Amen. The Bible talks about taking every thought captive to obey Jesus Christ. Amen. So if a thought comes into my head, you know, you've got this sickness and you're going to die, is that from God? No. Okay, it's not. It's from the enemy. It's from this fallen, messed up world. Or maybe it's from my old thought patterns before I became a Christian. So my spirit can rise up and I can say, be quiet, mind. Think about Jesus Christ and thank God for all his benefits. That's what this psalm is saying. God has forgiven all my sins. Amen. That includes the ones I haven't done yet, because when Jesus died, it was 1965 years before I was born. Well, not exactly, but approximately. And I hadn't sinned at all when he died. He died. He's already paid for my sins. So I need to remind my mind and my will and my emotions, God has forgiven me all my sins. Amen. So that will eradicate guilt. And then it says, bless the Lord who heals all my diseases. Amen. Just say out loud, God heals all my diseases. Amen. So that means you're going to have a healthy life. Amen. You're going to be able to do what God's called you to do without sickness or disease. And it goes on to say, he redeems my life from destruction. So yesterday we were driving down the road. I've been trusting God to protect me on my bike, because I ride my bike to work every day when I drive the car, for decades now. So I don't really have to think a lot about it. It's just so when this car suddenly, I think he was probably running away from the scene of a crime. He was driving crazy. He just pulled out and accelerated towards me. And I just pulled over towards the curb and he just went past. There was no fear in my heart. There was no, hit the microphone there. There was no panic. It's just this place of peace and trusting God. Amen. And, we cultivate that. You know, as you feed on God's word, you grow stronger and stronger in your mind. And I know last week God protected you, Abby, from a bump in your car driving to church. And you were able to share that testimony on Friday to the Alpha group. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Let's just declare that. God renews my youth and strength. Amen. Hallelujah. So we receive the forgiveness of sins and healing in the same way. How did you receive the forgiveness of your sins? This is a question for you. I want someone to call out as loudly as you can. How did you receive the forgiveness of sins? By faith. Okay, do you want to break that down a little bit? Exactly what did you believe? Could someone just push that door to? Because it's easier to hear them than speak
loud. I believe that God actually loved me and that he sent his son to die for me.
Yeah.
So that my sins would be forgiven.
That's right. And healing is just the same way. Now, when were your sins forgiven? Zeno, when were your sins forgiven? When Jesus died. We receive healing in the same way. How do we receive healing? The same way that Rita just said. We trust in Jesus, that he took our sicknesses on the cross. When were we healed then? Abby, when were we healed? Yes, and it happened when our sins were forgiven. It happened on the cross. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. This is the last scripture I'm going to read today, and this is a great one for healing. This is the chapter, Isaiah 53, that when I was at 19, I was probably about 19, and I'd had nosebleeds since I was about 11, I think, on and off. Made my life a real misery a lot of the time in my teenage years. It was when I was reading this chapter, the penny dropped, and I realised that God wanted to heal me. Let's read from Isaiah 53. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs. That word literally in the Hebrew means sicknesses. And this whole chapter, Isaiah 53, was written 700 years before Jesus was born, and it describes more accurately what was happening when Jesus was hanging on the cross than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell you what you could see, what you could hear, you know, what you could experience if you were there looking at Jesus on the cross. But Isaiah 53 tells you what was happening inside Jesus and what was happening between the Father and the Son and the importance and significance and meaning of what was happening on the cross. And that's amazing that God showed this to Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. This is another example of how we know Jesus is the Son of God, because he fulfilled prophecies from hundreds of years before he was born. Surely Jesus has borne our sicknesses. Now, sickness came as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve. You know, some good friends of mine have died of cancer, over the years. And I hate cancer. And I know that God is not the author of cancer or any other sickness for that matter. Sickness is a form of premature death. It's some things going wrong with our bodies that, if they're not fixed, can kill us. And all of that came because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. So when Jesus came, he was coming to reverse the curse that Adam had brought into the world. And Isaiah 53 describes how he did that on the cross. So Jesus not only took our sin, but he took the results or consequences of Adam's sin and all of the sins that have flowed out of our lives since Adam sinned and Eve sinned. And he took all the consequences, and sickness is a major consequence of sin. So it says here, surely Jesus has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we thought he had been stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. But Jesus was pierced through for our transgressions. It's amazing that Isaiah literally said pierced through, because crucius fiction wasn't invented until many hundreds of years later. And yet Isaiah could see through the Holy Spirit that Jesus was going to be nailed, pierced to a cross. He was pierced for our transgressions or sins. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. That means wickedness. The chastisement or punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, that literally means the blows that cut into him. We know he was flogged by the Romans, and they had this horrible whip with lots of different strands to it, with bits of bone and glass and rock, sharp rock, tied into the leather strand. So it basically just lacerated, ripped your back to bits. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. So just tell the person next to you, by Jesus' injuries, I am healed. And what we need to remember is, just as our sins are forgiven, so I say I am healed because I trust in Jesus' work on the cross. I say I am healed because of Jesus' work on the cross. Now, my nose, a few weeks ago, I couldn't speak because I lost my voice with an infection. You might have symptoms in your body, but you can still believe that this is true. Because as I believe this is true, it releases God's power to drive the symptoms out of our body. Amen. Just the way, you know, when I first became a Christian, I struggled for about 7 years believing that I was actually a Christian. I doubted that God had really forgiven my sins, because I thought it was like an ongoing pay-as-you-go basis. So I had to try not to stop sinning and then ask God to forgive me, and then I had to kind of wait and see whether or not he'd forgive me, whether I'd earned his forgiveness or whether I'd been too bad. And that was my mindset, because I hadn't had a proper teaching from the Bible about the new covenant. The book of Hebrews will just eradicate that mindset. And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, I was going to mention this about Jesus being our identity and our righteousness. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. He's talking about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and he's saying that the reason they had to keep killing animals is because it didn't take away sin permanently. But he then goes on to say in verse 14 of Hebrews 10, by one offering, God has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And he's talking about Jesus offering himself willingly as a sacrifice for us. By his offering, we have been perfected forever. And the result of that is that we have no more consciousness of sins. Okay? So what that means is the more you believe and understand what Jesus' perfect sacrifice is, the less time you will spend thinking about sin, thinking about being tempted to sin, or about things you know that you've done that are sin. You'll just stop doing that. You'll start focusing more and more on Jesus and what the Holy Spirit wants you to be doing. And it's the power of God causing you to live a more holy life than you could live if you tried your best to do it. It's a supernatural work of grace and righteousness. That's what Hebrews says. So I used to doubt that I was a Christian. But when I understood that it was a finished work, that my sins had already been forgiven, and all I had to do was trust in Jesus' sacrifice, then I stopped doubting and I believed. So now I know my sins are forgiven. And it's the same with healing. When I had these bad nosebleeds, I had to study God's promises in Isaiah 53, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in Matthew chapter 8, all through the Gospels. Jesus healed everyone who came to him and asked him to heal them. Okay, so that shows you that God wants to heal everyone. Now, does everyone get healed? No. Why not? Because we are responsible for our own heart. It's like cultivating a garden. Okay, and Christians who die sick, and I've known many that have, sadly, they go to heaven, so they win in the end. But it's sad when they die prematurely. It's sad for those of us that are left behind. So my goal as a pastor is to teach you God's word so that you can cultivate the garden of your heart. You can plant God's healing promises. You have to do this. I can't do it for you. You have to feed on God's promises for yourself and believe them, and so that you become just as convinced that God's healed you as you are convinced that God's forgiven your sins and you're a born-again Christian. So when the doctor tells you you've got this wrong with you, you're like that house built on a rock. A storm is attacking your house. You will stand strong. My dad stood strong for 6 years. He was taking his chemotherapy tablets, but now they've said he's got no cancer. He's free. And he was taking communion every day. He was watching Joseph Prince on TV every day. He was reading his Bible every day. He didn't do those things to earn God's favor and impress God enough to think God said, okay, I'll heal you because you're living such a good life. No, it's about cultivating your heart so you can receive what God's already given you. The battle is in your mind, amen? And I just want to finish with Isaiah 54. Okay, we're going to finish just talking with each other and praying with each other. Isaiah 54 is a wonderful chapter. And I've been praying for various people over the last couple of weeks. And Isaiah 54 keeps coming when I'm praying for people. So I think it would be good to talk to everyone about it. Isaiah 54 is talking prophetically about the nation of Israel, who have had a horrible time through their history. Holocaust Memorial Day was on Monday. I've been to Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, which is where you kind of see all the photos and videos of how the Nazis, and helped by many Europeans, sadly, and people around the world turned a blind eye to it as well. They murdered 6 million Jews on an industrial scale. And lots of other people as well, you know, gypsies, disabled people, homosexuals, people whose political views did not agree with Nazi Germany. They murdered millions and millions of people. But praise God, that was not the end of the Jewish people. God's fulfilled his promises. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see God's promises to Israel. He says, if you disobey me, I will punish you, I'll drive you from your land, I'll scatter you to all the nations, you'll suffer terrible things, but I will bring you back in the future to your land, and you will be planted here, never to leave it again, and my son in the last days will return from heaven to Jerusalem and rescue you, because there's going to be a big battle at the end of the world. All the United Nations are going to gather against Israel and try and wipe them out, but Jesus is going to return, defeat the nations, and set up his rule of peace and righteousness on this earth. Amen. And so, you know, Brexit happened on Friday, but this country's not going to be perfect. Only when Jesus comes back will our desires really be fulfilled, whether you voted Remain or Leave. What we really want is Jesus back. Amen. And so Isaiah 54 talks about the nation of Israel. It likens them to a woman who's been unable to have children and has been deserted by her husband. But God says, now you can forget all that. Put it all behind you. It says in verse 7, for a mere moment I've forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And he's talking about what Jesus did, because Jesus came to the people of Israel first. And a lot of them rejected him after he rose from the dead. And so the Jewish believers took the gospel around the world, to England, to Nigeria, to wherever, whatever country we might be from. And but he's also talking prophetically about the new covenant, because it says, this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, God says, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains will depart, talking about the end of the world, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. This is the new covenant. So tell the person next to you, God is never going to be angry with you again. What if you backslide from God and go and take drugs and do criminal activities and end up in prison? Do you think he's not going to be angry with you. He's already punished Jesus for all that stuff. Now, those are stupid things to do. It's stupid to take drugs. It's stupid to break the law and get sent to prison. But there are people in prison that have done that, who meet Jesus, who hear this good news and who are born again and set free. And they realise God is not angry with them. God has forgiven them. Now, let's just finish off with the rest of the chapter. God says, I'm going to lay your foundations with precious stones. And in verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You know, the armour of God talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes that are the gospel of peace. That means the good news that God is not going to be angry with you anymore. You know, that gives you a solid foundation, doesn't it? If you know God's not going to be ever going to be angry with you again, then you can walk around in freedom and confidence without tripping over into guilt and condemnation like I used to as a young Christian. Okay? You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. You need to know that verse, okay? Put it in your heart. And you shall be far from terror, for it shall not come near you. I'm not worried by terrorism, hallelujah, because the Spirit of God has made me bold. Amen. One of the people on our Alpha course has been very honest. They are scared to go out of the house. They're worried that a terrorist might come down their road and blow up a bomb. Okay. And what people need who are feeling like that, they need this good news in their hearts. They need to meet Jesus, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's finish off chapter 54, and then we're going to, in small groups, talk and pray together. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. So God's saying that terrorists will get together and do bad things, but they're not from me. It's not God's will. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I've created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument or tool for its work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. Now that reminds me of the Passover. God sent a destroying angel. We know in the beginning God created Lucifer as a perfect angel. He had a free will and he chose to rebel against God, and he's now Satan. And he's behind a lot of the evil things that happen on the world. So God says, look, I can handle this situation. I created everything. I know what's gone wrong. I know what the devil is trying to do. But he says in verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. God is the ultimate judge, amen. If he says we're righteous, if he says we're innocent, if he says we're not guilty, it doesn't matter who else rises up against you, sues you, takes you to court, Then God says, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. In other words, God's given us authority. We can say, I bind the demonic powers behind this attack on me, and I pray and I bless my enemies, I love my enemies, and I condemn their lies. And it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. In other words, God will vindicate us. It says in, I think, Psalm 37, I think it is, it says, your righteousness will come forth like the noonday. So God will bring out the truth. If people are slandering you and saying lies about you, if you will not react in the flesh, now don't get into fights, don't start insulting them and getting angry with them. Turn to God, forgive them, remind yourself that you're a deeply loved child of God, you're righteous, you're perfect in his sight, because you are perfect by the sacrifice of Jesus. Forgive them, bless them, and in the spiritual realm, use the weapons of our warfare, the sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and defeat the demonic powers that are behind people who are coming against you. And remember, our main call is to preach the gospel. Our main purpose, so don't let Satan stop you from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life and making disciples. So, I've had some difficult things in my life over the last year. Nothing particularly major, but still difficult. And I've just chosen, I'm going to focus on what God's called me to do. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care how slowly I feel I'm moving towards it. So running the Alpha course is one way I'm doing that. So Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen. So we're going to break into small groups, and we're going to pray. Just share with each other, what do you believe about healing? How strong is your faith in Jesus as your healer and your health? And let's pray for each other, share some prayer needs if we want, and prophesy over each other. And also pray for our people of peace, because no matter what difficult circumstances you are facing this week, what the devil really hates you to do is to share Jesus with your people of peace. If you really want to hit the devil back, if he's attacking your business, your family, your finances, your health, if you really want to hit him back where it hurts, share the good news of Jesus with people. Because what we're doing is populating heaven and plundering hell, as Reinhard Bonnke said, amen. So that's what, when my good friends in the past have died of cancer, the way I've decided to retaliate against the enemy, who I believe killed them prematurely, is to preach healing to more people. I'm going to encourage more people to believe in Jesus as their healer and defeat cancer in the future. And that's the way I react, amen, when some good friends of mine have died prematurely. Anyway, I think I've said enough on that, so I'm going to...